I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Unions raise workers' wages, they said, incomes, increase home ownership, increase retirement savings, increase access to critical benefits like sick leave and child care, and reduce inequality, all of which strengthen our economy for all workers. That's because unions raise standards across the workplaces and entire industries, pushing up wages and strengthening benefits for everyone. That's why strong unions are critical to a growing economy. I'm growing it from the middle out, the bottom up, not the top down. That's especially true as we transition to a clean energy future, which we're in the process of doing. I believe that transition should be fair and a win-win for auto workers and auto companies. But I also believe the contract agreement must lead to a vibrant, made in America future that promotes good, strong, middle class jobs that workers can raise a family on.
But, at the same time, the clean energy future currently involves China and buying lithium for the batteries from China. Now, we have a large deposit up near South Dakota, right here in our own land, maybe the largest in the world. I've yet to hear Biden say we will start opening up those mines and using lithium from that location instead of going to China for all the electric batteries. There was Joe Biden today making his address from the Roosevelt Room on behalf of the current labor strike that's underway with the UAW. For the first time in history, the UAW is striking all the three major automakers at the same time. And speaking on the walkouts, the president basically said, I respect the workers to call for a work stoppage. He said, I also appreciate all the parties have been working around the clock, and I pray you'll stay at the table. But he did not really say one side or the other. He supports the auto workers, other than saying, you know, our economy is still going strong. It's not. And the auto workers, that's part of their issue. Saying we're seeing you give all the tax credits and benefits to the automakers to make your electric green energy vehicle, and they're shutting gasoline plants where some of us were working, and on top of that, we're not sure we'll have a job at the new facility or when it will be constructed. And then on top of that, we're being cut by your Bidenomics on a constant basis, dying by a cut, 1,000 cuts a day. You want the latest? I'll give it to you more detail a little bit later, but I'll say it to you right now. The University of Michigan just pointing out the index of consumer sentiment dropped to 67.7%. That's almost 2% lower than the previous month. So consumers are saying Bidenomics is stinkonomics. But there was Biden and trying to pull the two sides together, labor and the United Auto Workers, and of course the companies. It was a lot, I think, in their mind of blah, 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 blah. Sounded like it to me. Both sides of the fence. Which I know he's trying to play, but he's not going to come down one side or the other at this point. He's going to act like, I am concerned. At least I'm dealing with it. And that's another reason, by the way, I can't go to East Palestine, Ohio, to the train derailment, because I got to deal with this right now. Next week, it's a birthday Christmas party early that we're having. Anyway, he'll find another excuse. As I've said, it is so easy to go down rabbit holes when I'm talking about Biden. I mean, they just open up in front of me, and I can't help but fall down in some of them. Help me, I've fallen, I can't get up. But I'm up now. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, second hour of Larry Connors USA. We air daily, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. right here. You don't have to change the dial to catch the second hour. And while we're on the air, we are streaming for you at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and at News Talk Facebook, News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and also on Rumble. And if you miss any of them, you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and get immediately connected to watch by the video, to watch it, and are just listening to the program. I know a lot of folks on their drive home, they're listening live, but they, I was told again today, Vic Porcelli was saying, Larry, you did it to me again. So what'd I do this time, Vic? Well, I get home, I'm getting ready to get out of the car, and I'm listening to you, and you're still wrapping up a story, and I got to sit in the car and hear the rest of it. I can't get out of the car. And Ken the Thunder Stealer told me the same thing 2 weeks ago. And then the other day at a poker tournament, somebody said, I get home and my wife is with me. Let's get out of the car. No, I got to hear the rest of this. Good. Good. I don't want it to lead to a divorce, but I'm glad to have you hung on every word I've got coming out, hopefully. All right, let's turn our attention now to another issue, the budget. As you know, as the way it's set up right now, the government will shut down, for what that means, September 30. And Biden, to that extent, actually for the first time discussed the impeachment inquiry into him. Not the actual impeachment, but the impeachment inquiry. And he said the GOP would rather shut down the government, while they're trying to impeach me. Well, Chip Roy says our budget has to have controls on it.
And so my question again is, when will it be enough? It's a long laundry list of things that should be giving us great pause. Actual existential crises. Spending. We will spend $2 trillion more this year than we take in. We are $32 trillion in debt, barreling towards 33, barreling towards 34, and we just passed the debt ceiling increase of $4 trillion, frankly, probably more than that. And oh, by the way, our interest payments are now more than what we spend on national defense. Inflation is rampant. Are we going to do anything about it? The resounding answer currently from this body is no.
No, we're apparently not going to be doing anything. That was, again, Chip Roy speaking on the House floor about the budget. Now, the fiscal year began October 1, or will begin, I should say, October 1 of 2023. The Congress has so far enacted none of the 12 appropriations bills. They've taken action on them and supposedly ready to send them through, but they haven't. They have until midnight, the final day of the fiscal year, which would be September 30, to enact legislation. Otherwise, they'll have to go with a continuing resolution, which already the caucus, the conservative caucus, says, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. We'll let the government shut down again. Do it. And a shutdown in fiscal year 2024 would affect all federal activities covered by discretionary appropriations. That would be as opposed to the most recent 2019 shutdown. You recall when it began in late 2018 during the Trump administration, did extend into early 19, only affecting departments and agencies concerned by the 7 appropriations bills Congress had not yet enacted. In this case, this would be a total shutdown this time, except for our necessary forces, necessary needs, I should point out. But again, back to Congressman Chip Roy, said, look at the waste we're going through.
Are we going to do anything about spending? When will it be enough? How about our Defense Department? This Defense Department is undermining our national defense by turning our military into what I describe as a social engineering experiment in a uniform. President Biden's Pentagon is outright ignoring the law by funding abortion tourism with taxpayer funding, in blatant violation of the traditional bipartisan agreement under the Hyde Amendment to not do that. Let states decide. That's what the court just said. We continue to fund it with federal dollars. President Biden's Pentagon is using millions of taxpayer dollars to fund gender transition procedures. The Air Force released a memo entitled Department of the Air Force Observance of LGBTQ Pride Month, which empowered installation commanders to plan and conduct activities in honor of Pride Month. Now, color me crazy and reactionary that I think that every single dollar that we fund to the Department of Defense ought to go to planes, boats, bullets, bombs, missiles, and trained soldiers to use them.
Yeah, that would make sense. Oh, that would be common sense, would it not? Now, of course, this is a Texas congressman who's a Republican. And the numbers are staggering. $32 trillion, approaching 33 or shooting through that to 34. Let me give you another viewpoint. This is from Public Broadcasting Report, pointing out the federal deficit nearly tripled, raising concern about the country's finances. No kidding. And they say the budget deficit ballooned in the first 9 months of this fiscal year, both because of a sharp increase in government spending, a significant drop in tax revenues. That's according to Public Broadcast. And they say the federal government deficit nearly tripled in the first 9 months. Treasury Department saying the budget gap from October through June was nearly $1.4 trillion. That's a 170% increase from the same period a year before. Whose watch is that on? Oh, that would be Joe Biden's watch, wouldn't it? So when he says to the automakers, basically, I feel your pain, he doesn't feel anything. He's up there jawboning to the United Auto Workers, and they're looking at him like, you cannot think we're that stupid. Or if you do, you're going to pay a price for it. Consumer sentiment fell, as we pointed out in the previous hour. University of Michigan's preliminary monthly survey of U.S. households. Consumer sentiment, which is a reading of how much you believe in the economy, dropping almost 2 points from last month. Inflation expectations showing signs U.S. consumers see inflation continuing to fall despite the stalling of disinflation. Now, I know I don't want to get too deep into financial terminology, but basically nothing's keeping up with where you need to be, and you know that. And have you not seen your gasoline prices? I have. Since I mentioned to you last week, they're up about 40 cents a gallon. And they say they could hit a dollar or more before the end of summer. Well, Larry, we're into September. It's not officially into summer. But I would tell you this, come fall and Thanksgiving, watch for them to pull them back down if we drain our reserves again. But again, the waste we have going on, and I want to go back to what Congressman Chip Roy was talking about, how they are destroying our military by what we are spending money on.
Our military is paying chief diversity officers and inclusion officials upwards of $183,000 a year. The United States Marine University is a year-long program that is dedicated to exploring gender and security issues. According to the official syllabus, which we found because we saw it on Twitter when they were trying to defend their position, they discussed program themes like, quote, gendering war, with questions like, what is gender and how is it different from biological sex? Or how war narratives are constructed through gender discourse. Again, we're $2 trillion in debt. Our recruiting levels are in the toilet at the Pentagon. China is building their military, and this is what we're funding. It's not like we have a $2 trillion surplus. What are we doing? Do you really think having Marines discuss how, quote, war narratives are constructed through gender discourse helps us win a war?
May I speak on behalf of the Marines, or at least as one? No, it does not help us in war. And every military serviceman or woman would agree. Unless they got the DEI position. I don't mean the DI, the drill instructor, but the diversity, exclusivity, inclusion, military award, whatever. Well, the White House will quickly tell you, look, all that we're doing for you. And also, by the way, we want to emphasize, we're not spending any of your tax dollars in the $6 billion we're releasing for Iran. No tax dollars. So does that make you feel better or safer?
I also want to be clear. This is not a payment of any kind. It's not ransom. These aren't U.S. taxpayer dollars. And we haven't lifted a single one of our sanctions on Iran. Iran will be getting no sanctions relief. We will continue to counter Iran, the Iran regime. When we're trying to bring Americans home, we often aren't dealing on a level playing field.
That's John Kirby, the National White House spokesman on that deal that is releasing, unfreezing $6 billion held in South Korea for Iran to have access to. Why would we do it? Because the Biden administration decided, let's be friends with Iran as if they will appreciate it. And for Kirby to say, we're not using tax dollars, I understand that, but we'll need tax dollars to fight them down the road. And they're believing that they're actually going to use it for humanitarian uses only. Well, Wisconsin Congressman Gallagher says, that's stupid.
When you give people money in return for hostages, there's no other word to describe it other than a ransom payment. So yet again, another lie from the Biden administration. And more to the point, the other lie they're telling is that this money can only be used for humanitarian purposes by the Iranian regime. Well, that's news to the Iranian regime, which has already claimed that they're going to use it for whatever purposes that they want. And so we need more clarity from the Biden administration. And again, it gets back. If we want to have stability in the Middle East, we need to support a traditional alliance structure, starting with Israel, extending to the Sunni Arab Gulf states, who are increasingly united in opposition to Iran. So facilitating Iran's sponsor of terrorism is the exact opposite of what we need to be doing in the Middle East.
Absolutely. And when you heard John Kirby say, well, they're going to be using it for humanitarian efforts only, well, you hear otherwise now, don't you? And when he points out that it's, we're not lifting any sanctions against them, well, then why give them the money? What are they going to spend it on? Are they going to spend it on their own people to help open up a grocery store and spend the money just between themselves? Well, hell no, they're not going to. They're going to go out and buy whatever they need, a foreign nuclear weapon, and whatever oil and gas they can get from communist nations. You are not making the Middle East or the world in general safer. You're not. This is like we're being led by a kid who has never been aware of the world around him. Now, if you're 5 years old, I would understand you don't know the difference that there's a different state over there than where you live, and there's a state line, and then there's across the ocean there might be other countries, because maybe you're being indoctrinated in school instead of being taught geography, but you can't blame the kid for being unknowledgeable. Not stupid, he just hasn't been taught it. Biden, I thought, had been aware of this, but maybe he's not either. Maybe he did just take his lunch pail to school to eat. That's the only reason he went to school, to eat. I wonder if mommy gave me peanut butter sandwich today. All right, coming up, I want to turn our attention to, you know how many stores have been closing across the nation, saying we're not going to put up a crime in these areas, we'll just shut down. Well, the Chicago mayor has come up with a unique idea. It ain't going to work. I'll tell him right now, it ain't going to work. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, before we go through the debacle that's going to happen in Chicago, and you're going to laugh your butt off when you hear what I'm going to tell you. It's going to make you stay in the car, by the way, if you're getting ready to get out. You can't get out of the car until I finish this next story. Actually, I think we got another 20-plus minutes of air. You might not get out of the car at all for a while. Drive around the block. Well, no, don't waste gas. Just park somewhere. Roll the windows down if it's cool enough. Park in the shade. Pretty soon cops will come around and say, why are you sitting here? Well, I'm listening to Larry Connors USA. Oh, can I listen? You can always listen. Pull this up on an app. You don't even have to use your radio. You simply put the app on your phone, open it up, play it through your Bluetooth if you have one, and you just sit there and hear the whole program. Always easy way to do it. We'd mentioned in the beginning of the hour the UAW strike, and Joe Biden and his blah, blah, blah comments about we're going to get all sides together and everybody's got to come away good, feeling good about it. This handwriting was on the wall for weeks before we got to this date. I want to quote to you from a Democrat, who was pointing out that this was going to happen anyway. She's from Michigan. She would know Detroit. Alisa Slotkin. She's also a U.S. Senate candidate. She said, I just think the scene for these negotiations was set before they really even started. You have our big three who are making, in some cases, record profits, and you have the people working at those facilities who are struggling and have less money in their pockets because of inflation. She didn't use the word Bidenflation. I will. But she knows the origin of the inflation we're in right now. She continued, so I think the truth is we knew it was going to be an exciting this September, and it is. No one wants a long strike. We know that what it will do to Michigan. We know what it does to individuals at those facilities and the rest of the country. But I think that as someone who is used to negotiating international agreements, you set the stage for these negotiations in the weeks ahead of it. And then it ended up coming down to last night. Again, that's a Democrat saying the automakers are making record profits and the workers still scraping by. Their money was good and would be good and before it was during Trump. Would they want more money? Of course they would. I'm not saying they wouldn't. There's nothing wrong with more money. If you can get it, get it. But here's the kick in the butt for those who thought, if they really believe listening to Biden, that he's on their side. On CNN, Ford president and CEO Jim Farley stated, I'm not opposed to giving workers pay increases. I'm not opposed to it. But, and there's always going to be a but somewhere in the room, right? But it prevents us, oh, here come the words that Joe Biden couldn't have written himself for him to read. I know Joe Biden couldn't write them, much less say them, but it's like music to Joe Biden's ears and all the green pie in the sky people. Here he comes. I'm not opposed to giving workers pay increases, but if it prevents us from investing in this transition to EVs and the future products like the ones we have in our new F-150, we can't do it. We'll go bankrupt. There you have it. There's where the rubber hit the road. We cannot build the EVs you want us to build without holding the pay workers down, putting our foot on their back and the back of their neck. He said 40% the increase that the UAW wants is too much. It put us out of business, and we can't go past it. Not if you want us to invest in EVs. And he points to the new F-150. Said it's the best-selling vehicle in the U.S. This is the same one, the same president of Ford who took the F-150 on a road trip and had numerous problems with the battery and getting it charged, holding a charge, finding charging stations at work. This is the same F-150 I told you about, an EV, electric vehicle, that a guy spent something like $80,000 plus on, and it was in the shop the first 6 months he had it, according to him. And that he had to put $10,000 into a power station at his house so he could charge it during the night. Oh, and that also meant he had to rewire all of his house, upgrade the wiring another $40,000 or so, maybe $20,000. It's not just simply flicking a switch and everything is on. Maybe we should go back and blame Edison for inventing the electric light to begin with. Maybe that's where it all started. So when we look at all these businesses that are bailing out of cities because they're being overrun by crime, and they're trying to find a way to resolve it so they just shut the door. And they've left those areas. That has obviously happened all over in high-rent districts, and also low-rent districts. And particularly the low-rent districts, they're not coming back. So Chicago mayor is now looking into opening tax-funded, city-owned grocery stores in areas where businesses have pulled out. Let me look at this. They're identifying, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. They had a quote down here from the prior mayor, and I thought, I got the wrong story or it's the wrong date. Anyway, the new Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson is thinking about a partnership with the Economic Security Project to opening city-owned grocery stores. The first step, a feasibility study. I would sign up for that if you were capable of doing a study, because you'll get money just doing the study. City did not set a timeline. We're going to restudy. Like hiring a consultant in many cases. You're never going to get it right, because if they could say, okay, everything's good and right, you don't need us anymore, we'll leave. No. No, we need to stay around and make sure you continue to do it right. The mayor in a statement said, all Chicago residents deserve to live near convenient, affordable, healthy grocery options. And we know that's a challenge for many on the south and west sides. And you want to know why, Mayor? Is because thugs have chased people out of the stores, shooting, killing, raping on the way in or out, and then also vandalizing the stores, setting them on fire, or simply looting them, grabbing what they want off the shelves and going out the door. But he says, my administration is committed to advancing innovative whole-of-government approaches on these inequities. And the city of Chicago, we can reimagine the role of government in our lives by exploring public options for a grocery store, a public grocery store paid for by taxpayers who live all over Chicago, now paying for a grocery store in a part of an area they're never going to go into, or will be run over and vandalized and set on fire, and there will still be thefts It'll just be from a Chicago-owned store. Does he think by opening a Chicago-owned, taxpayer-funded store, the looting, the vandalism, the theft will stop? Could he be that stupid, really? Then he say, we're going to do it like the Library Postal Service operates. You been in a library lately? I was in one maybe about 3 months ago to meet one of my grandsons on a paper he's working on. First time I'd been in one in a long time. I used to go to them all the time. I love reading books and just the smell of the books in the library I really like. But I don't think I saw 10 people in there. And a lot of things are now on computer anyway. I don't know of anybody who has a library card. And the Postal Service, we know how that operates. Not so good, always at a deficit. So you're going to have a Chicago public grocery store that only those in the area will go to if they're not afraid to leave their homes. And then if they're actually going to pay for it, hope they're not going to get robbed or on the way home. And others are just going to come in, pick up what they want off the shelves and walk out. It's going to be a losing proposition. And who's going to be on the hook for it? All the Chicago taxpayers. I would ask Chicago taxpayers, those of you listening to us, I know many in Chicago do. I haven't had a chance to talk to my boots on the ground reporter in Chicago, Andrew, but I'll bet, one, he's never been in a library lately. Not trying to shame you, Andrew, but I just don't think you probably have. Your kids might have been. But I will also bet that you're not in favor of your tax dollars going up again because you live in the great state of Illinois. So you got the Democrat Michigan Republican, Democrat representative, who's now running for Senate, saying Biden has blown the UAW deal. He didn't get on top of it in the beginning. You got the Ford president saying, well, we're willing to give them more money, maybe not 40%, but we can't build your EVs you want us to do. And we know that's more important to you than the workers. Otherwise, you wouldn't have put people out of work when you first went into office by killing the Keystone Pipeline. Everything happening here on Biden's watch is because you voted for him, you got him. Coming up, are we buying ABC?
Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we were talking earlier about the UAW on strike for the first time against all three major automakers, and Biden addressing them from the Roosevelt Room, saying basically, I feel your pain. I'm with you. He didn't really say that, but he was trying to say, I'm still with you guys. I'm Lunch Pail Joe, but also want to see the company survive. The union is requesting, according to the automakers, a 40% wage increase. Well, that is high, obviously, but depends of how it's spread out over the period of the contract. But the point they have that's actually against them, the automakers, is they're telling Biden, hey, we could give them more money, maybe not that much, but we could give them more, but you want us to retool from gas vehicles to electric vehicles. It's going to cost more. And, of course, the government's already giving them an extra ton of money to make the transition because they are so bought into the green plan. They're going to make sure, hopefully, by 2030, there will be no gas vehicles produced. And, of course, already there are many concerned about, well, am I going to have a job when we get to that point? This is akin basically to Hillary Clinton when she was running and talking about the coal miners. So, well, you just, you know, we're going to get rid of coal mining. You're just going to have to go learn computer skills or something. They have it so easy, and they think you should have it easy, but you're not going to get any breaks from them in the process. They will talk a good game. Let me correct that. They don't talk a good game. They want you to think they're talking a good game, but they don't. Their words belie them from the beginning. But they don't think you'll hold them accountable. Wrong. We do, and we will, each and every time, certainly on this program. Let me give you an example of something where you think this would have been, well, first of all, before I do that, I want to share this with you. We talked earlier about immigration running rampant since Biden's gotten into office, and untold millions have come into the country, and we have to worry about those who have come in, how many are coming for maybe to better their lives or coming in to destroy America. They're not going to assimilate. They just want to come in and destroy the country. We know that numerous from China, Chinese men of military age have been seen crossing at dark, so they don't even want to be spotted. Maybe they just want to escape China. I'd understand that, but maybe they're doing this so they can get inside without being detected or screened by whatever screening we would offer, which is pretty much nothing right now. There's a 40-mile stretch around Del Rio that we don't have any Border Patrol agents on at all anymore. We can't afford it. We got them tied up doing processing work, filling out applications for them, and getting diapers and milk formula. Our country is not secure, and this president is a reason. But here's the other issue. We'd mentioned that if your wages are down, they're going to go down even more. And those who live in the migrant communities that are here legally working in minority communities, many of these coming in, they're going to seek refuge right away in the midst of those same communities and put them at risk, first of all, personal risk from harm and their children. But they're also going to start sucking up the resources that are available to help those in that community. Suddenly you're going to need more teachers, or you're going to have 60 to 70 kids in each class. That's not going to work. Or you're going to need more medical services. Or if your wait time was 2 hours, you can triple it before you get in to see the doctor. And they're going to be taking the lower paid jobs if they're coming for a job. You're working for $5 an hour, they'll do it for $3. Someone else will come in and do it for $2. This statement from the Center for Immigration Studies points this out. Stephen Camerota was telling this to lawmakers this week in a hearing before the House Health, Employment, Labor, and Pension Subcommittee. He said liberals such as President Joe Biden have broken with historical precedent in recent decades to defend the interest of corporations against American workers when it comes to national immigration policy. He said historically, progressives, they got that if you have lots of immigration, you tend to push down wages. They know that. The more illegals you bring in, or they want to call them migrants, but the more you bring in, well, then the more the wages go down. And he points out, unfortunately, a lot of progressives are lying with corporate America on this. They actually want low wages. And they're happy to ignore this crisis of non-work among working-age people, especially in the U.S. Immigrants haven't suffered this issue. It's mostly U.S.-born men without a college degree, and that's a social disaster. And he quotes President Obama, former President Obama, in his 2006 book, The Audacity of Hope. You didn't read it? I don't know anyone who does. I'm not knocking it. I didn't either. But he quotes him and says that Obama admitted illegal immigration, illegal, threaten the wages of America's working class. On record, Bill Clinton and Obama have said, we are a nation of migrants, we welcome migrants, but we also have laws. In other words, we don't welcome illegal immigrants or aliens. You're not allowed to use those terms now in the politically correct world we're living in. Well, I did. Sue me. Stand in line. Believe me, there's a long, long line. And then you get this from someone else who's worried about losing her job to an illegal. Oprah Winfrey. Well, I guess she probably would. I guess she won't lose her job. But, you know, she did something she thought would help Maui. And she was looking at the wildfires of the devastation. And it pained her. And I believe she's honest about that, that I think we all should feel the pain and loss for those who lost loved ones and maybe ran into the sea to escape the flames and never came out of the water. We don't know how many. They're still looking for many. And many children were the ones who got caught in the flames if they couldn't run fast enough, or the infirm, the elderly. And she said, I was so excited about what we were going to do. I got up this morning, you know, I thought we're going to start a fundraiser. So she did. She gathered up, along with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and Winfrey, who's a billionaire, said they were inspired by country star Dolly Parton, who in 2017 organized a fund to help victims in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. So she said, we thought, because both of us have given to charities our whole lives, and I'm sure she has, starting the fund with $10 million would be a great idea, because any of us who've ever been to any benefit, you know, you go to a benefit and somebody gives $10 million, that's called a good night. She's correct. So we thought $10 million, we'll start off the fund. We'll do what Dolly did, get other people to give money, which we'll put directly into people's bank accounts. I was so excited about this idea. I get up the next morning, and I saw this anger, vitriol. I was like, whoa, what happened here? What happened is some of the people, I don't know if they didn't understand she was actually giving some, but they're thinking, why are you telling us to get? Why don't you give a lot to help? $10 million means nothing to you. That's why you're giving it. See, that's where giving comes in, be quite honest. The church talks about a tithe, 10%, before taxes. No, I'm going to take it after tax. No, they mean 10% of whatever you get. came from God, so you should give it back. That goes all the way back to Old Testament days. And a lot of religions have similar donation standards. I do remember a pastor one time saying, a guy said, well, I can't give it. You know, I could give 10% when I was only making $100,000, but now I'm making some real money. I'm making about $800,000-$900,000, and 10% is a lot of money. And of course, the pastor said, well, then we'll pray for you to make less. So you can make less, then maybe you can give more. And I'm not calling anyone out on this. I'm just saying that that's reaction to some. I'll admit to you right up, I used to give 10%. I don't give 10% now. So I'll be clean and honest with you. But apparently a lot of people saw her and Dwayne the Rock doing this, and they thought, if you can give $10 million, you can give a hell of a lot more. And you want us to reach into our pocket, and we're already facing Bidenflation, Bidenomics, and we're suffering. You're not doing any suffering. Where is your suffering just by giving 10 or even 100 million? You're a billionaire. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to almost side with Oprah on this, in the sense that just by starting the fund and trying to encourage people, I think that's a good idea. But she was shocked by those angry with her. And she said, whoa, what happened? It made me sad we're at this state in our country. It is because, Oprah, because liberals have scammed so many people and taken their money, saying they're going to do something, and they look at our federal budget and our $33 trillion debt and how we're spending our money, and they say no, even if people are suffering. I hope that does not stop you from giving to any charity or your church of choice. And you give whatever you want. I'll be honest, I was at one time, I'd been invited to this black church to speak and deliver a testimony. And I thought, I knew black services went long. I'm not knocking. I just knew they did. But I thought I'd be out there about, you know, if it starts at 12, I'd be out by 1:30. Well, it was after 2 o'clock before it was, finally is over. But I remember not once, not twice, but maybe five different times the pastor was saying, I want all you tigers to come up here, all you tigers. I thought, tigers, what does that mean? And people would come forward. And then again, I want all you tigers. I mean, constantly. And people were coming forward and dropping more change. It was tithers. And when I was serving at a position in a church, we were helping take collections, and somebody commented and said, you guys should smile more when you're getting the money. You're not looking happy. And I said, I'll tell that to the pastor. And I told him, and he said, well, maybe if they saw what you saw being put in, they wouldn't be smiling either. I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm just saying that Oprah was absolutely amazed that the backlash of trying to start a fundraiser for Maui blew up in her face. I still commend her for what she gave and is helping the community and for those who did. And whatever you give to your church, that's your decision. And whatever charity you support, that's your decision. I know it's always appreciated, especially now, but I also know a lot more people are in trouble. Except for Quentin, I don't know if you're aware of this, I want to turn the corner. I want to ask you, do you know where our Jeff Allen is at this point? Jeff Allen, I would call him if I'm going to be nice. I'll call him the general manager of the station, part owner, or all of it. Joe Rush, the other one, isn't in town, so maybe I can get away with it. But I've got a story in front of us. I'm going to have to ask him. It says, Allen Media Group, offering a $10 billion offer to buy the ABC TV network from Walt Disney. This name is spelled the same as Jeff Allen spells his. $10 billion? Well, I think Quentin and I should be in there demanding a lot more money. Come on. You got $10 billion, you're going to give it to ABC? Why don't you give it to us? Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to have to back off of this. Or whoops. No, I'm not being shut off. I'm just reading more facts, and facts sometimes are a stumbling block. This is the Allen media group run by Byron Allen, who has a lot of money, black entrepreneur, big media guy, and apparently he's saying we've offered Walt Disney $10 billion to buy the ABC network, local stations, National Geographic cable channels, and others. Well, that would be very, very interesting. And CNN is reporting people inside and around ABC News that they're dreading what could happen. They're fearful. One of them said that everybody's freaking out. They're freaking out. It's all anyone's talking about. So if you turn on ABC Network today and you don't see any programming, or you just see a screen that has nothing on it at all, and maybe because everybody's still freaking out, they're thinking, oh my God, we're going to be bought out when we have a job. So I guess I had to withdraw the concern I had about Jeff Allen cheating us out of money. Jeff would never do that. $10 billion? Well, if he had $10 billion, I would continue this, but this is the Allen Media Group owned by the national mogul in media, black entrepreneur, and I wish him well with it. Of course, ABC says, well, talks are preliminary right now. We're still talking. In other words, they may try to get more, or they may realize this is going to be the best deal we're going to get. Disney's in trouble because they've had a lot of projects go upside down because of woke culture. They deserve it. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.